chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, and rise for the reading of that passage. Colossians chapter 3, 16 and 17. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Please be seated. Last week we began. We start. Have you got the recording started? Last week we began looking at this passage, just two verses, and we barely covered half of verse 16. And I've entitled this passage, Experiencing the Godly Life. I could well have changed the title to Being Blessed with a Godly Life. And I hope at the end of this sermon, you take to heart the tremendous sense of being blessed that you should have as a believer in Jesus Christ. I hope you return home to keep reminding yourself all through the day and then through all the days of your life that you are a blessed person. And in sensing and experiencing being a blessed person, your heart will overflow. Your mind will overflow with thankfulness, gratitude. But not only that, you will spontaneously live the holy life. We usually, and I said this last week, we usually speak of receiving Christ. And we imagine, and we answer the question, where is Christ? With the answer, Christ is in me. But I emphasized last week that Christ cannot be in you if in that same proportion the Word of God is not in you. And Colossians chapter 3 verse 16 is saying what? Let the Word of Christ be in you, dwell in you, richly. There are many non-Christians who love Jesus, and I've met several of them. Last week I spoke of one couple, but so many of them say they love Jesus, but they don't need the Bible. They just love Jesus. He is so nice. I've even been to Zoroastrian people's homes. I don't know if you have ever been into a Parsi home or even a restaurant or hotel. Somewhere in their home or hotel, they have a little place of worship. And a perpetual fire, the eternal flame. They worship the elements. And very often you'll see a picture of Mother Mary and even Jesus Christ. So there are a whole lot of non-Christians who claim to worship and love Jesus, but they don't know the truth from the Bible. But leave them aside. Among Christians, there are a whole lot of people who call themselves Catholics and Orthodox Christians. They say they are Christians, but they don't know the Bible. Leave them aside too. What about those who claim to be born again? How many of us actually admit we don't know where that reference is and where verses are? In fact, if the preacher starts teaching from the Old Testament, many of those Old Testament, especially the minor prophets, will be obscure, right? And we will be looking at the content page to find where to look in the Bible. What does verse 16 tell us in Colossians chapter 3? Look at it again and again as I preach. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And the question that I'm asking from this text is, are you rich in your knowledge of the Bible? Are you rich? How much biblical wealth do you have? How much knowledge of the Bible enriches your mind? How much of your mind is filled with the Bible and its teachings? Now, we can memorize verses. That's not enough. This verse is not just emphasizing memorizing the Bible. It's not even saying read the Bible. It's not just saying study the Bible. What is it saying? Be rich in the words of Christ. Be rich. Now you know what it means to be rich in wealth. Just normal wealth. Worldly wealth. I mean, your pockets are full, your bank account is full, you're very secure in properties and gold and jewelry and money. You're never short of it. You can go on vacation, you can go and eat in the restaurants, you can have coffee, whatever. You can go to the movies, you can spend, you can be lavish, you can give gifts. So just take that sense of being rich into your biblical knowledge. Are you rich? Are you able to be lavish with the words of Christ? Do you know that lavish lifestyle, which is a biblical lifestyle? Are you drinking Bible? Are you eating Bible? Are you dishing out Bible? And it said, Spurgeon said, recently I read Spurgeon said that of Bunyan. So it gets confusing who said it. But somebody said it. That cut me anywhere, I will bleed the bleed. So the first thing that we touched upon last week was godly living must be experienced in community. Now the whole thing is not just you be rich individually in the Bible. Now that is not being negated. Individually you need to be rich, but the emphasis is you all together in the church, in the fellowship of the saints, among all you believers who club together, you be rich together in the Word of God. Our fellowship must be Bible rich. And I mentioned last Sunday, when you meet with some believers and you say, I'm having fellowship. After you finish having fellowship, measure your fellowship with the measure of how much Bible was exchanged in that time of fellowship. How much Bible was exchanged? Now it's possible to have a tracker. I've been following the election news, and it's very interesting how many apps there are to track words. How many times did the candidate in his election speech mention jobs? How many times did he mention Balakot? How many times did he mention whatever? You can track. How many times did you mention things from the Bible directly in your fellowship? Is your fellowship Bible rich, or is it rich in talking about others? Or is it rich in talking about other subjects? Measure fellowship. And strengthen one another with the word of Christ. We looked at John chapter 15 verse 7. And over there, it said this, and if you have time, open to it. John 15 verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, isn't it fascinating that if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, it's not about anything more precious than you will get what you pray for. Can someone please turn the fan on or the AC on? You switched it off. If you look at John 15 verse 7, it's your prayers will be answered in anything you wish for. And what the Bible is really saying and what Jesus is really saying is, if you are rich in the Word of God and in Christ, if there is an indwelling richness of Christ and His Word in you, you will be a prayer warrior who is an effective prayer warrior. And we could have a whole message just on this idea. What's going to happen if I have Christ in me, richly dwelling in me, and the words of Christ richly dwelling in me? I will have the desires and the mind and the feelings and the affections of Christ. My whole life will be so attuned to Christ and His will that I will come very close to doing exactly what Jesus did. When He came on earth, to earth in His flesh, what did He say? I have come to do Thy will, O my God. In the Garden of Gethsemane, what did He say? Not my will, but Thine be done. And you know what? The believer who's richly abiding in Christ and allowing the words of Christ to richly abide in him or her, you know what's going to happen? You're going to be saying, not my will, but Thine. Not my desires, but Thine. I remember from Psalm 37 that verse which says, Delight yourselves also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. And when I was a teenager, young in Christ, I thought, wow, you know, I can get what I want. I just need to love Jesus. And then reading the Bible and maturing in Scripture, I realized, you know what God does when I delight in Him? He'll make me like Him. And I will want what He wants. And He will give me the desires of His heart, which are now in my heart. Is that what you desire to become like? And what is the ministry that we will perform with each other as we are allowing the words of Christ to richly dwell in us? Verse 16 tells us that we will be teaching and admonishing one another. We will be teaching and admonishing one another, and we dealt with it last week too, and I'm reviewing. Remember Deuteronomy chapter 6? Parents have to tell their children when they sit, stand, walk, talk, all the time. And I wonder, parents, I'm looking at you, are you doing that with your children, or are you not even there when your children are there? How many times I hear my children are playing out somewhere? I mean, take every opportunity. Deuteronomy 6 says that, right? When you sit, walk, talk, what a change will come up on your children. I'm telling you this. We've got two grown-up children. And I don't need to keep talking about them. You know them better than sometimes I do, because you have more fun with them. I hope you see the effect of a mother having spent day after day, week after week, month after month with those two boys. While I was traveling in ministry, she was always there at home. And the children loved to be with her. They bullied her, but she taught them the word of Christ. Are you bringing them books to read? Are you encouraging them to be in the word of God? And then, whatever Deuteronomy 6 says that parents do for the children, can we turn it around and do it for ourselves? I mean, there is value in everything else we do. But there is eternal value in giving up everything else we do to be rich in the word of Christ. Amen. Just like I said about Passion Week. I mean, there is great value. I mean, they told me, you will have such an impact. You have come to us so much. There's going to be such a huge number of people. Please teach all these people who have gone astray. You'll sell all your books, but there's more money for me being here. I have to make a choice. Which is my call? Yesterday I was talking with a pastor. I said, you're excited about being invited to somebody else's church, and something will happen to your own church. There is more value to be in your own local church and shepherd them. See, we keep making choices, and unfortunately we make choices without thinking. And we never think it's the wrong choice. But we pay the price years later when there's an impact on the choice we made long ago. But we're here looking at this. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. But let me point to you to verse 15 too. What did it say in verse 15? Let the peace of Christ. Hey, isn't it time to keep looking at all these things? What is it? What is this statement? Grammatically, what do you call it? In language grammar, let the. It's a suggestion. It's an instruction. Let this happen to you. Let this be the experience of your life. Let the peace of Christ rule. Rule means what? Have the authority in your life. I'm a calm person. And I don't need to get agitated, panic, anxious, worried, tense, stressed out, burned out. I mean, you can take all those words and throw it in the garbage. What does the Bible tell me? He is our peace. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. To which indeed you were called. You were called to do what? To let peace rule in your heart. And there again, in one body, community. And be thankful. Oh, thankfulness is repeated so many times in these few verses. So teach one another. When you meet together, teach one another. Give instruction, information, which is biblical. Admonish one another. And I reminded us last Sunday that it is not scolding, confronting, rebuking. But it is. It includes those things with gentleness, with compassion, with a real intention of restoring. Galatians 6:1. But it also includes being wise. I mean, it's not just saying, don't do this, don't do that. And trying to control people. But it has to be wise, sensible, mature. That's what admonishing is, practical. Does it work? Don't just tell people, be saved. I've been told 100 times, be saved. I've been told 1,000,000 times, repent. I don't know. What do I do to repent? How do I repent? I've been told, pray. You tell your children, pray, read the Bible. I have no idea, no clue how to pray. What do I say? So even many of our prayers are very poor grammar for one thing. And very repetitious. And we take God's name in vain. God, 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 God. Lord, Father, God, Jesus. You have to teach. Admonish. Get in under the skin of people and feel what they feel. Get into their situation and help them, lift them up. Admonish. And in all wisdom. I hope you see that. In all. How much wisdom? Don't take the philosophies and wisdom of Plato and Aristotle and Gandhi and everybody else and all your education from all the books, but the wisdom of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, 66 books, the wisdom of God. All of it. And we looked at James chapter 1 verses 5 to 8 and chapter 3 13 to 18. And we saw that there is a heavenly wisdom defined there. Okay? very practical, very holy. I hope you realize wisdom is holy, humble, meek. But then we move to the second part of verse 6, and here we take off from where we left off last week. Godly living must be experienced in gratitude. Verse 16b. Grumbling and complaining is easier than saying thank you. You never stop learning. That it's also easy to find fault. And so easy to take for granted when something nice happens. I mean, when the chapati is burnt, we'll mention it. When the chapati is not burnt, we never mention it. Right? When there's no salt in the food, we'll mention it. When there's more salt in the food, we'll mention it. But when it's just right, we won't mention it. We even have this in our culture that we say to one another, don't mention it. Thank you, don't mention it. And then the English got corrupted. Mention not. I come from British, so I can't help it. It hurts my ears to hear mention not. No mention, no mention. What are you saying? And I said, thank you. We do the same thing with when I say, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's all right. I mean, I'm really sorry. No, it's all right. I mean, then why the heck did you get hurt? Well, what is being thankful? It's the sounds of music. You see my notes? Sounds of music. Look at verse 16. With psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, we admonish and teach one another with sounds of music. We have trouble singing as a congregation. Even those old choruses, we sang out of tune and something else. This morning. We're very poor singers in DCC. So then we take recourse to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So we can have cacophony. It doesn't matter. It's a harmony and symphony. But isn't it high time that you had those earphones attached to MP3s or whatever else you use to good Christian music and stop listening to just sermons? Or what I wonder if you even listen to sermons. When you go home, when you have a shower or whatever, I hope you have showers, plug in some music. It's high time DCC has heard good music, and then maybe we will sing in tune for a change. But to have music in my heart and music in my fellowship, I've got to be musical. But half of us, I mean, the profile of DCC has changed. And let's face it, mainline church singing, terrific. I don't know about the vernacular mainline churches, but in the English churches, I was a chorister, okay? I had the best choir masters in the world, maybe. Philip Bunter. And in school, Conrad Matthews. Conrad Matthews had about 6 to 12 music degrees behind his name. He was my teacher. And Reverend Philip Bunter could hear a wrong note even when he was dead drunk. Why he would use that animal? Who made that stupid noise? And we would say, but it doesn't matter, we don't need to be from that background. But look at Colossians 3:16. Does it say we should be admonishing each other with psalms? That you can read if you can't sing. But what about hymns and spiritual songs? How much of hymnology are you written? And please understand this. Every time there's been a revival, spiritual revival and awakening, there has been great singing. And there is no other religion on planet Earth in the history of humankind that has songs and hymns than the Christian faith. It's high time you heard more music, Christian music, of all kinds, bhajans, whatever your type. We should have more music, sounds of music. Whether we are English medium background, vernacular medium background, what the Bible is teaching us is all of us, all of us. Is it all of us? Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing. Who? One another. How? With psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So get yourself some equipment and download all the Christian music you can. And I don't care whether it's charismatic, non-charismatic, or whatever. Get music in your soul. And then we'll sort out your theology. I'm telling you. Speed it up. Because it's going, you know what music does? Even secular music, it soothes. It elevates. It calms, it comforts. Do you agree? And it can whip up passion. And all those drums. And can get you demon possessed even. Those who worship demons use a lot of music. And we Christians need to bring back music to our souls, into our fellowship. Amen. But the first requirement to have this song in my fellowship and in my heart is to not have gratitude. No. Feel blessed. And I think, Paul, don't think enough of how blessed you are that you were taken from the kutcher of your sin. And your ignorance. You didn't know Jesus Christ. You were not even good Hindus or Muslims or whatever background you come from. You were not really great worshippers of even false gods. You were not spiritually minded. Even when you were pagans, you were just living for yourself. Rotten, selfish, self-centered people. And some of us came from backgrounds where we indulged in acts of sin. And Christ saved me. Christ gave his life for me. And Christ put me in a church of fellow brothers and sisters. And Christ calls me friend, Christ calls me brother, Christ says, I forgive everything, I embrace you, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm coming back for you. And think of all the other things Christ has done for you. He's given you His Holy Spirit. He's given you His Word. Are you blessed? Not just academically. But do you feel blessed? All the time. I'm chosen. I'm chosen. All my friends are going to hell. I'm chosen. All the better people, more educated people are going to hell. I'm chosen. Why me, Lord? I'm so blessed to be His son. I'm blessed. There was a criminal in prison, and a preacher went to him at death row. This is a true story. And he told him about Jesus. And you know what this criminal, who was an evil, evil man, he told the preacher, "You really believe all that about Jesus that you told me? And you're saying that that Jesus can save me from hell. I'm going to hang to death in a few hours. But if I believed as you believed, I would crawl on glass, broken glass, to tell every last person on planet Earth the great good news that you just told me." How precious is your salvation? How great is this rich salvation? Are you blessed? Can you put your hand on your heart and say to yourself, "I'm so blessed"? And only as you go through life saying, "I'm so blessed," will you say thank you to God the Father through Jesus Christ. Are you getting it? But it's only academic. It's only through the mouth. And God said in His Word, you know, these people profess me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. You say it in your prayers, you say it in your songs, but your heart, do you always feel blessed? Then you will be filled with gratitude. Are you getting it? This is what I am. I'm blessed. I have a song to sing. I have a Savior to sing about. I have a lover of my soul. And please see in that verse 16, it is with singing, with thankfulness in your heart to God. It's inside me. Because I'm blessed. That song is a song of gratitude that is spontaneous. It's not struggling to sing. You know, we sing in BCC and I look around. Some of you don't even want to sing. You come to worship God and you're not even wanting to sing. And you may be thinking this is also foreign to me. And it is. But get into it. Feel blessed. And let that spontaneous sense of being blessed lead to gratitude and thankfulness in your heart and a song from your heart, in your heart, in the fellowship. And then godly living must be Christ-centered. Look at it. And whatever you do, are you looking at it? Whatever you do, well, I'm just blowing my nose. Is that also part of whatever I do? Yes. Everything. I mean, this is my total being. Whatever you do, in word or deed, godly living, spontaneous Godly living is what? Christ-centered. Do all what? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do all in the name of the Lord. You know, in the name is not taking Jesus' name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus all the time. It is in the name of Jesus. In the Jewish mind, in Hebrew thinking, the name was the person. So also when we close Christian prayers with, I pray this in the name of Jesus, we don't need to say in the name of Jesus. We have to mean that I pray this prayer only because it is in the will of Jesus. It is in keeping with the character of Jesus. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it in keeping with the person and character of Jesus Christ, your Lord. Shobat aheka. Does it fit? Is it worthy of Jesus? To all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? Because Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit and consistent in chapter 1 of Colossians, verse 15 onwards, you know what he said? Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. How many times is Jesus mentioned? And he's all in all that he is should inspire me to do everything in word or deed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he is God, the Creator, the Redeemer, my Savior, my Lord. He is all in all to me. You know what? I was very careful to restrict myself in chapter 3 to certain sections. Because the next few verses are all about husbands, wives, children, and how you behave in your workplace. And I want you to know that if you don't have chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3 clear in your life, not in your mind only, you can't live out family life. Christ has to be all in all, right? And only then, can you work your marriage out, your parenting out. I'm going to be starting parenting classes. I hope those who've never been through parenting class, but also marriage classes, and you're married, but you never had counseling, I want to take you through all that I should have learned before I got married. Lynn and I were never taught. We just had to teach ourselves. But I want to teach you. So we're going to start classes. But Colossians chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, Christ must become the passion, the center And His word must fill your heart with all wisdom richly. And you must feel blessed. Are you blessed? Are you really blessed? Are you grateful that you are blessed? Our Father, You have blessed us, Ephesians chapter 1 says, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, with Christ. Help us to feel blessed. And then to grow in being blessed. And then, Lord, we know Your word teaches us that we are to be a blessing to those who are not yet blessed. And so, Lord, take all these things and make them reality in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.